Praise the Lord. That's a good song. It was a blessing. Enjoyed that. And I choose Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All the others are fakes and phonies. I'll choose Jesus. That's what this story is about in 1 Kings. It's about two opinions. And really, it's what it all boils down to, just two. There's man's opinion, then there's God's opinion. That's what it all boils down to. And all the religions, all the cults, all the beliefs, the psychological viewpoints and everything you hear, it all boils down just two, really. And they're right here. Mount Carmel, I mean, we see the challenge. And the question is asked, how long halts you between those two? Two opinions. That's the title of the message this morning. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you'll challenge us again to make that choice. Lord, we know that you'll outshine all of them, everything, anything. You outshine everything in heaven. You certainly outshine everything here on this earth. All the false gods, all the idols, Lord, all the ideas of man. You're bigger, you're greater. And Lord, we pray that everyone here will choose you and your opinion. And so please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, there are so many denominations. It was interesting because I started last night looking at what churches were going to close. And I always kind of watch that and kind of get a kick out of that. Dale and I were talking this morning and something was said like, well, attendance will probably be down, but it'll be a whole lot more than a lot of places, because a lot of places didn't even open the doors. And, you know, but I was watching all the different names. You know, there's some church, you ought to thank God. I mean, Berean is, a lot of people don't know what it is because they don't know their Bibles. But I mean, it is a Bible name. But I mean, it's a lot easier than the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ Loving You Forever. And, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you know, that website, whatever that is, the address, takes forever to type it in. But I mean, there are some churches, I mean, just all kinds of different things and different names. And you know, as I'm watching some of these names, because it includes not only Adrian, but I mean, not only Southeast Michigan, but also Northwest Ohio. I mean, there are just, it just was unbelievable, all the different names, all the different religions. Some believe pretty much like we do, some not even close. But really, when you consider, okay, there's a church next door, church up the road, church over here, church over there, it still really boils down just two opinions. Okay, it doesn't matter, you know, all the cults and all the different beliefs, and it still really, it just boils down to two opinions. All right, and you know, again, that seems it seems confusing, but not when you narrow it down to the two opinions. I mean, it's God and all the other gods. It's large G, capital G God, and it's little teeny G gods. That's really what it boils down to. And again, you say, well, you just think you're right. No, I know I'm right. And you ought to know you're right, too. See, again, it's two opinions. All right, who are you going to choose? You're going to choose based on, I read this in a book, and this philosopher taught me this, and this teacher said this and that, or are you going to take the opinion that God said out of God's word? And yes, you accept it and believe it by faith, but again, it's not faith based on foolishness. It's faith. All I've got, I mean, I look at the facts, and I know which opinion to choose. It just comes down to two. Two religions, two opinions, however you want to call it. And you ought to believe you're right. And if you're here today and you say, well, I'm really not sure, then I ask you a question. How long halt you between two opinions? You say, well, I'm not totally convinced yet. Then get off the fence and choose right or choose wrong, but choose. God said he'd rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm. I'm one of these that just kind of, I kind of decide by the crowd that I'm in. No, you're lukewarm, you're vomit, you need to decide. Amen. I mean, it's very, very simple. There are just two opinions. There is no gray area in this thing. I mean, you know, at Mount Carmel, we see gray areas wiped out. Amen. I mean, we see you either choose God's way or you choose man's way. Yeah, but I want to be kind of on both. It doesn't work that way. And it certainly doesn't work that way for salvation. You know, you can't go both. Well, I'm working my way to heaven by trusting Christ as Savior. It doesn't work. You either trust Him or you don't. He either is the Savior or he's not the Savior. I mean, he's either the Savior or he's just your, he's just a good teacher. I mean, is he your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ and him alone to save you? Or are you holding on to a church membership somewhere? You know, I'm counting on that. Or are you holding on to the fact that you're an American? You're counting on that. Or are you holding on to, well, I got baptized. That ought to do it. No. Listen, you're either saved or you're not saved. There's just two opinions. You either are or you aren't. You people are narrow-minded. I'm not narrow-minded. God's narrow-minded. Don't blame me. I didn't write it. Amen. Boy, be careful today in our politically correct environment that we don't wimp out. Because there's just two opinions. Okay, well, you guys, you think that, you guys are the only ones that are right. Well, what about Islam? They're wrong. W-R-O-N-G, they are wrong. Okay, just plain old wrong. But they're sincere. They're sincerely wrong then. They're wrong. Okay, you say, you can't say that. I just said it. They're wrong. Okay, download it. Send it to your neighbor. I about said something that would have got me in trouble. You like it when I'm in trouble. You just don't want to be in trouble yourself. But I mean, that's the Bible, okay? There's just two opinions. Okay, well, whose side are you going to be on? You going to be on Elijah's here? You going to be on the majority side? I mean, that's really what it boiled down to. And Elijah, I like him. He's an independent, fundamental, radical nut, Bible-believing, King James Bible, Baptist. And he's just a person. But he has the power of God, the real God. Okay, whose side are you going to be on? There are just two opinions. And again, this idea, you know, people say, you say, preacher, I go to work and everybody, they say to me, you think you're the only one that's right. I don't know if you're the only one that's right, but are you right? Amen. You should know whether you're right or not. You should believe if you're right or not. You should decide what is right. Look, there's two opinions. And I'm going to show them to you today. The opinion of man and the opinion of God. Now, it's up to us to choose, okay? He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. By the way, if I thought Baal was God, I'd follow him. Hello? I mean, if I thought that Baal, somehow that Baal was God, I'd follow. If I thought that Ashtoreth was God, I would follow that one. If I thought the sun was God, I'd follow the sun. If I thought the moon was God, I'd worship the moon. If I believed that a little rock, little statue thing that was on the mantle was God, I'd worship that little statue thing. If I thought that the little woman in the little shed out in the yard with a little light in it and a little booth over her head so she doesn't get wet, if I thought that was God, then I would worship that. If I thought saying all these hello Judes or whatever it is, hail Jude or I don't know what they say, but if I thought that was going to be God, then I would do that. Hey, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying whatever you believe, that's what you ought to do. But I'm not going to hold hands with Baal. I'm not going to be around Baal. I don't want anything to do with Baal because I don't think Baal's God. I believe in God. And my God says I need to worship him and him only, and that means not Baal. That means not Ashtoreth. That means not the moon, not the sun, not a frog, not a roach, not a fly. None of those. You say, preacher, people don't. Oh, yeah, they have those things as gods. They think crocodiles are gods. You know, they think that a cow is their grandma. Anyway, first of all, the opinion of man. Notice the opinion of man, the followers of that. And by the way, so much of it could be wrapped up in a word called humanism. That is the worship of man. Man is the measure of all things, and that is being taught to our young people in public schools. It's been taught for years. It was taught when I was in school. So you know it. Oh, good night. That was ancient. Amen. Back in the day of the dinosaur. But, humanism. And again, okay, if man is the measure of all things, then we don't need God. Is he? Hello? Is he? All you got to do is go down to the hospital and you'll see that man's not the measure of all things. Go to a funeral sometime. Man's not the measure of all things. That's why they make caskets. God's eternal. Amen. But I'm really getting in trouble here. I'm headed for trouble. You're going to miss lunch if I'm not careful. Oh, the opinion of man. Notice the man's followers here, and we see them so clearly. Verse 22, the first thing we see is they are many. They are many. In fact, we see it in verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. I mean, here's these prophets, here's these leaders of man's opinion. All right, man's religion, if you want to call it that. And 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves, they are many compared to one. Okay, don't ever get the idea that just because there's more of them that that happens to be right. Don't ever get the idea that majority means right. Okay, very seldom is it true that majority is right. Most of the time, majority is wrong. People just kind of follow the bandwagon. People just get in line and follow blindly whether or not it's right or not. That is just most of the time. They are, number one, they are many. The opinion of man has many followers. The opinion of man is always popular. By the way, listen to it. Depraved religion is always popular with a depraved humanity. Always. Work salvation will always be popular with people who are depraved. Working your way to heaven will always be popular with proud people who think they are the measure of everything. Because then when they get to heaven, they stand before everybody and say, "Look what I did." Okay, that is not how you get to heaven. That is not what anyone will be able to say when they get to heaven. All we will say is, "Hey, I am here totally, completely by the grace of God Almighty. I deserve hell, but I'm here. Hallelujah." I mean, there's always going to be this majority. You ask most people, if you go soul winning, and you will verify this, you ask most people, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Many will say yes, and you say, "How do you know?" And they, "Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a good person." Really? Can you classify that? Well, yeah, I I'm a good person. I don't steal. I don't murder. I don't rape. You know, they'll go down this list of things, leaving out what they do. I mean, honestly, if I'm talking to Caleb and I'm trying to convince him that I'm a nice guy, I don't tell him the bad things that I do. If I want to really find out about him, I ask his wife. But come on, you know, this idea of work salvation, we know who we are. We know what we are. Isaiah said your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but it'll always be many. It'll always be many. Depraved religion is always popular with a depraved humanity, always. And it always will be, always. And you know, so don't look at this and say, "Boy, Elijah, what is he thinking? I mean, one versus 850? Is he crazy? I mean, what about these? You know, they all have their own TV shows. They all have their own radio shows. I mean, Elijah, who does he think he is going against them? Who does he, I mean, doesn't he understand that people are following them?" And people are. People are. People are following the opinion of man. But could I remind you that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction? And many there be that go in thereat. Many. They are many. Second thing I want you to see here about the opinion of man is they are mad. They are mad. The challenge is made. Verse 23. And I love the challenge. I really, there's so much about this story. It is one of my favorite stories. Anytime I feel like I'm becoming kind of wimpy, I read this because I just love it. Because I love Elijah. I think he is just, he's a man's man. And he's not a sissy. And yeah, he has a little time where he gets kind of wimpy on us and wants to die and everything. But that's just human nature. But boy, when it comes time to take a stand, I love it. I would to God we had more people like Elijah. Verse 23. It says, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks." Okay, there you go. Two opinions, two bullocks. Amen. I mean, there's not. Well, we're going to use a half a bullock over here because we have our opinion too. No, there's just two. Okay, God makes that clear. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces. They get to choose their bullock, so there's no trick. You know, Elijah didn't have dynamite implanted in one of them. You know, he didn't have some trick, okay, as the liberals would say. And lay it on the wood, cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under. Okay, that'd be cheating. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. So it's very simple. We're gonna take a bullock, we're gonna cut it in pieces, and we're not gonna put any fire under it, and we're each gonna do that. I'll have my bullock, you have yours, okay? And he says this, call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Now, that's pretty simple. I mean, whichever God is God, let him show himself. Let him show himself. And the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. Now, by the way, you say, preacher, why wouldn't you choose Baal? Because he doesn't speak. He doesn't answer. Hello? That's why. Morning till noon, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. That had to be kind of messy. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. That's what I like about Elijah. He's not afraid to point out, hello, Baal, where are you? And it doesn't bother him. He said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. That's one guy. Verses 850, who are mad. Because you know what they're doing now? They're leaping on the altar. Can you see them leaping on the altar? Yeah. the Bible says, then, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. It's all right, it's all good. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets. This will get his attention. Baal, look at me, I'm bleeding for you. There's another reason I don't choose Baal, because I don't want to bleed for him. I want to see if he'll bleed for me. My Savior bled for me. My Savior died on a cross for me. Amen. Don't start feeling like I'm outnumbered. The bad guys have... No. With God, you're always in the majority as far as God is concerned. And the Bible says the blood gushed out upon them. Gush is a good word to describe what these guys were up to. Now, are they mad or not? I guess. Kind of strange, isn't it, what people will do to try to get their God to answer. You know, verses 17 and 18 says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Hey, you know what? You're the ones who've forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Because they chose Balaam. Look. Hey, they're out here cutting themselves. Their blood is gushing all over the place. They are mad. Trying so hard to get their God to do something. It is a sin-sick madness. It'll drive you to drugs. It'll drive you to liquor. It'll drive you to all kinds of immorality. I'm talking about in a search for Baal to finally say something, in a search for your God to answer, whether it be Baal, whether it be man, whatever, in a search for that God to do something, people do strange things. People do real, real strange things. But you know, their false gods have never answered. Humanism has no answer. Humanism has no answer for somebody whose life is a wreck and destroyed and a mess. And humanism can't say, you know what humanism says? Well, you know, eventually we'll just execute that person because they're not worth messing with. You know, that's where we're headed, folks. If we kill little babies inside mama's womb, we're not going to have any trouble killing older folks and killing people we don't think are worthy. You know what God does? God makes a person a new person. Amen. Baal can't do that. Humanism can't do that. Humanism doesn't know anything about life. In fact, humanism, like I said, destroys life if it's not the life they want it to be. You see, what God does is He makes it a new life. That's what He did to me. That's what He did for Brother Korea. Amen. That's what He did for you if you're saved today. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the alcoholic can be a non-alcoholic. Amen. The drug addict can be not a drug addict. The pervert can be unperverted. Amen. And we can be new creatures in Christ. But see, these they're mad because their God's never answered. They're mad because, you know, they'll do anything to try to get Baal to answer. It's like the Jehovah Witness when we were down in college down in Florida. Jehovah Witness knocked on my door, and I happened to be studying Greek at the time, my Greek class, and I had my little Greek Bible, my Greek New Testament, and Jehovah Witness, he came to the door, and it was probably, I mean, it was Florida. It was 85, 90 degrees. Sounds good today, doesn't it? But anyway, he, you know, he's standing there in the sweat, and this guy's probably 75 years old. Sweat is dripping down his face. And he's standing there, and he's trying to talk to me about Jehovah Witness. And I said, look at John 1:1, and, you know, and I'm trying to tell him that, you know, that Jesus is God. And he said, well, you know, in the Greek. And I said, really, you know Greek? He goes, well, yeah, it's in the Greek, this. And I said, let me get my Greek Bible. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Because he just knew what to quote. He didn't really know Greek. He had no clue. And he looked at me and I said, you know, I said, really what it all boils down to is if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And all of a sudden the tears started to come to his eyes. And I said, I mean, seriously, if you died right, he said, look, I need to get my, one of my leaders, my elder who's with me. He, you know, I'm just new at this. And I said, wait, it doesn't matter if you're new. I said, I'm asking you a question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You're out here. I said, why are you out here? He said, well, I want to go to heaven. I said, he said, if I sell enough of our magazines and I do enough of this work, he said, I can go to heaven someday. I'll be part of the chosen. I'll be part of the elect. And I said, whoa. I said, if I could show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven and without doing all that stuff, would you listen? Tears start rolling down. I got to talk to my elder. I said, your elder can't help you with this. I said, I'm trying to tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. He said, no, I got to get out here. And you know, that guy just kept right on going. Kept right on going. He's mad. He's mad. Just like these. Just like most of the world. Just like the people in countries where they'll take their little baby and offer it as a sacrifice to some god, throwing it to the crocodiles. Like those that will climb up the steps and until their knees are bloody and so they can worship their God, and they'll go through all kinds of different things, torturing themselves. Hey, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. You know, oh God, how can I be worthy? You can't be worthy in and of yourselves. That's the whole point. Let me cut myself. Let me bleed. Let me punish myself. Let me whip myself. Let me do something. Let me hang myself on a cross. Listen to me. That's mad. For God so loved the world, He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. There are many. They are mad. By the way, they believe in what they're doing. But don't they believe, don't they understand it doesn't work? It just doesn't work. You're here today and you say, well, you know, I don't believe this. But look at what you've tried. Humanism doesn't work. I've got folks even now that just recently I've talked to that you know, oh well, we were in a Baptist church and you know, we heard all that, but now I'm doing this, and I look at them in the eyes and say, is it working? Well, no. No, I'm worse off than I've ever been. And you will keep getting worse off. These prophets, you talk about worse off. They're leaping, they're jumping up and down, they're screaming, calling out to Baal. There is no answer. They're many. They're mad. And the third thing, they're misled. Why is that? Look at verse 29. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. They're misled. No answer. No answer. Go with me. Keep your place here and go to Acts 18. Acts 18 and verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. But notice, he reasoned with the Jews. Why? They're misled. Reasoned. You know, reasoning with people is saying, okay, here's why. I mean, if you just stop and you think about it, look at the human body. And we talk about this all the time. There is no, you can't recreate. Well, there's robots now, but they're not people. They're not people. Well, you know, but they're making robots that can do great. I understand all that, but they're still not people. And I can flip a switch and they're off. Unplug them and they don't work. Don't charge them, they don't work. Do you understand? We go without batteries. We go without being plugged in. They can't recreate people. They can't give a soul to their robot. I'm just saying, and we'll see it. I really believe we will. We'll see it more and more. And that'll be, you know, well, more evidence, but it's not evidence. You know, reasoning is to make you see, come on, think about this thing. Think about this thing. Two opinions, there's only two. And so many are misled. Like Jim Jones bunch. I believe the anniversary of that was just recently, and I saw something in the paper about that, and I still remember when all that happened. And, you know, how could people be so misled? But that's a world today. And it all starts with this idea, well, there's all these, you know, we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. We're all going to the same place. We're just taking different roads. No, we're not. Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way. Okay, well, what about these people that believe it? Look, Jesus said, I am the way. They are misled. They're many, they're mad, they're misled. That's the opinion of man. Number two is the opinion of God. And you'll notice they're few. They are few. Back to 1 Kings 18, Elijah said in verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the only one, if you're right. It doesn't matter how few there are if you're right. He said, I'm the only one. I know you stop and think about it. Some of you, you know, some of our young people in schools, you feel like you are the only Christian. You are the only one that goes to church. You are the only one that's saved. But it doesn't matter if you're right. They say 11% claim to be Christians, and probably less than 5% really are saved people. Bible says, few there be that find it. So it's few. But again, with God, we are always, always in the majority. Because if you're right, you're right. Doesn't matter if you're by yourself. 1 verses 850. But understand, it wasn't Elijah's power at question. And that's what you need to realize. It wasn't Elijah's power. It wasn't up to Elijah. Elijah doesn't have any way to light that fire. Elijah has no clue what's going to happen here. Okay? In fact, he's going to make it real tough, as we'll see here in just a minute. It's not his power that's at question, though. So it doesn't matter if there's one of him or if there's 1,000 of him. It's God's power. Who is God? That's what's at question. You know what? It's still that way. It does not matter how many of us, and we have a good crowd, and I praise God for that, but it's never our size that's at question. It's His power. People are not going to get saved because we're big. Now, we have more opportunity. The bigger we are, the more people that actually go out and tell people. But we can't save anybody. We can't produce miracles. We have financial needs. It's unbelievable as far as because of our school tuition. I mean, we need a miracle to take place. We can't produce that. But God can. It's never when I'm in a hospital praying for somebody. It's never, I pray that this doctor can perform a miracle. I pray for doctors that God will give them wisdom. I pray for nurses that God will give them compassion. I pray for, notice the difference, wisdom and compassion. But I pray for, you ever have a nurse that's not compassionate? Yeah, I know what you mean. But I pray that God will do, but ultimately, I don't say, doctor, please heal this person. I go to my God who's a great physician and say, God, I need you to do this. Please do this. Because God can do it. It wasn't Elijah's power at question. So, you know, every now and then, and certainly around election time, somebody foolishly says, well, if a certain, you know, this certain Christian candidate's elected, that'll show God's power. That doesn't show God's power. People being elected doesn't, that's not necessarily a sign of God's power. Oh, I voted for the first person I voted for when I turned 18 was Jimmy Carter. He was born again. Remember? I thought that's why I should vote for him. He said he was a Christian. That doesn't show God's power one way or the other. It just shows how I voted. And you can decide how that was on your own opinion. But I already have my opinion about it. But what shows God's power? Souls being saved. Humans can't save a soul. Humans can elect somebody. Lots of humans elect people. But only God can save a soul. Only God can give a miracle. Only God can light the fire. Man can't figure that out. Doesn't matter if there's 850 of them versus one. Who's going to light the fire? Baal didn't. They're few. I don't mind being few. Second thing, they're faithful. They're faithful. You know, he trusted God. Verse 21, you know, everybody's against him. Elijah came unto all the people, and he's the one that issues the challenge. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. He says, I don't care what you choose, but it's time you choose. And he trusted God with this. He's faithful. Verse 27, he made fun of him. He mocked him. I like that. We live in a day where everybody's so afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. You know, we're so afraid. Oh, you know, don't hurt their feelings. I got news for you. It's beyond feelings. There's, you know, this thing going on in the Middle East, and I, you know, I'm not trying to be political here, but there's more than feelings at stake. People are dying. And there's people that want us dead. I am not worried about hurting anybody's feelings. And you know, well, Elijah shouldn't have said what he said. You know, he might have made him feel bad. And in verse 30, I love what he did. He's faithful. Look what he does when it's his turn. Amen. So they spend the whole day trying to get Baal to do something. Verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him and repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. By the way, if you want to see God do something, you might want to repair your altar. You want to see God work in Adrian, Michigan, you might want to repair your altar. You want to see Him work in your life, you might want to get that altar repaired. Amen? Because that's where He started. You know, He's faithful. And Elijah doesn't cut himself. And he doesn't leap. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've gotten excited a few times and leaped. I have been excited before. Usually, though, that's after something happened. Usually, as I'm talking to God, seldom am I leaping. Plus, leaping is difficult for me because after leaping, there's the results therein. Now, here's the thing you need to remember. There was a drought brought on by God. And this is a severe drought. And there's not a whole lot of water. And so I like what Elijah does in verse 33. It says, he put the wood in order and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Now, I promise you, the people are all going, why? Because water is very precious now. It's like gasoline, amen? Of course, if you had gasoline, that would have made the fire really burn, wouldn't it? But fill 4 barrels with water, and those barrels of water are very precious, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. You say, you know, he's kind of cocky, isn't he? Yeah, I like that. He is. I like it. And it says, he said, do it the second time. 4 plus 4 equals, boy, some of you had to really think on that, didn't you? 8 barrels of water. And, you know, 8 barrels of water, again, that's precious, precious water. There's a drought. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And that would be 12 barrels of water. That's a lot of water. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Isn't that something? He's not leaping. He's not cutting himself. In fact, he just wants everybody to know God did this. Okay, there's no trick, no dynamite in the bullock, no gunpowder in the bullock, just a bullock and lots of water. And water doesn't burn, and you don't ignite water. It came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. He just believed God. I'm going to tell you, why does God say, choose? Because God wants to know if you believe Him or not. Okay, get off the fence. You say, well, nothing's happening. That's because you're on the fence. You're straddling the fence. You're struggling with your humanist friends and family. And you're not speaking out for the God, the Almighty God, the only God, the Lord God, the God of Elijah. You're not speaking out for Him and saying, hey, He'll light the fire. You say, well, that's because I'm kind of afraid of that. Not if you really believe you wouldn't be. I'm asking you this. Did He light a fire in you when He saved you? Okay, same fire, same God. They're few, they're faithful, and then they're favored. Verse 38, the Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Isn't that something? That's our God. Over and over and over, I have watched God perform miracles just like that. You know, we're just so afraid to choose. He said there's two opinions. How long halt ye between them? When are you going to choose? Okay? You say, well, I certainly, preacher, I don't think Baal's so hot. Yeah, he's not. Then why do you choose him? Why do you choose him in so many decisions? The opinion of man will always fail, but the opinion of God will always succeed. Verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And you know, I'm telling you, man's way. Many, they're many, they're mad, they're misled. And you might want to choose that. And many do choose that. And you say, well, I have Jesus in my heart, but I just, you know, I'm kind of living the worldly lifestyle. Why would you choose Jesus in your heart and live for Baal? Especially when we have needs just like anybody has need. Just like we need miracles. We need something to happen. It's amazing how we'll go Baal's way all week long, and then all of a sudden, you know, when we have a need, well, God, where are you? Where is that Lord God of Elijah? He was where he was on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Same place. Why don't you choose him? Why don't we choose him? You know, it's just like Noah's Ark. Choice. Okay, here's the ark. And the people laughed. You got to be kidding. Why would anybody want to be in this thing? It's not even on water. It's about to be. Well, why would anybody want to do that? And that's the way the world looks at us. Why would I want salvation? I got it made. Good night. I can party. I can do my thing. I've got all these things. Why would I want that? It's a choice. You decide. Like Moses, Egypt versus God. What are you going to choose, Moses? Boy, you could have Egypt. That's everything. I mean, you could have everything, anything. What are you going to choose? The Bible says Moses chose God instead of the pleasures of sin. Why? Because it was a season. He wanted something eternal. What do you want? What do you want? I suggest, since there are two opinions, you choose the right opinion. Choose God's opinion. What God says, His Word. You say, well, you know, I'm just not so sure. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. If you're kind of caught in the middle, then say, God, I'm struggling with this thing. And help me to believe. Help me to trust you and believe you and to go all out for your way. No matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what everybody else thinks, we are in a world where we are outnumbered. And we will continue to be outnumbered. We just need to do whatever He wants us to do and trust Him with all that stuff. I want to see the fire fall. Do you? Let's bow our heads, please.